This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking season one, episode two of Community Spanish 101. The journey through community continues. I'm Josh Wiggler. If I didn't say that already, I don't remember. Me amo Josh Wiggler. I'm joined here by Jess Sterling. Jess Sterling, hello.
Donde Style Podcast.
It's here.
Aquí. We're right here.
Yeah, es aquí. Yeah. See, we're here. It's happening. It's real. And Jess, we're not alone.
We're not alone. We have a guest, a very special guest.
I'm so excited. I've like exploded with glee last week when I found out that this was going to be our first official guest on the podcast. One of my faves. Haven't been on a podcast with her since we were in the jungles of Fiji, joined by a dog that interrupted our interview, and we still have yet to create the children's book that we promised we would make based on that wandering pooch. The great Foo the dog was the name. I'm so thrilled to have here for Spanish 101, first guest on Community Building, Gabby Piscusi in the house.
Hola!
Yes!
Hi! Thanks,
oh,
Josh.
My God. Oh, gosh. Gabby of I hear you were on a show called Survivor. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. It's you may have heard of it. It's on Netflix now. We have to get to writing our children's book. I miss Fiji and the dog and you both. Thanks for having me.
You both is the name of Jess Sterling's character in the Dungeons and Dragons in the Post Show Recaps patron community.
It is actually not, but that's what Josh's character thinks it is.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yes. My robot juggernaut Arnold believes that Jess's character's name is You Both, but that's not actually it. But I'm thrilled to be here with you both, too. I'm so excited. I think that this is going to be great. Gabby, I've yet to hear your takes on community, but I know that you are an early advocate of like, yes, you guys should be podcasting about community. Why aren't you going to do it? So I know you're a huge fan of the show.
Yeah, I knew it was something that was up your alley, Josh, and it was really exciting to find out that Jess was a fellow fan, and I am a huge community fan. I'm so excited to be here and talk about my favorite show with two smart television-loving people, and
we have a fourth guest other than Jess and Gabby.
Very
there's someone
humble.
Else here.
Yes. Eat your humble pie. It's delicious.
Yes. I'm going to get an F- on community by the end of this thing, I'm afraid. But I'm trying. Gabby, what was it about community that grabbed you in from the get-go? Are you like a day one adopter of the show?
I was actually trying to remember that before this, and I was asking my boyfriend, because as long as I can remember knowing my boyfriend, which is for about 8 years now, we've watched Community together. So there was we were watching it live, but he said that I showed it to him. So apparently I watched it before him, but I literally have no recollection of that.
Interesting.
So I don't know if I was day one in 2009, but by like 2011 is when I went to college. We were catching up. We were watching live, but I could not tell you when I first watched it because apparently I've like erased everything pre-2011 from my brain. I don't know.
Time is gone.
Time is a flat circle. Nothing is real.
We lost it.
It's really fun to rewatch. I rewatch it constantly, and it was fun to rewatch this episode for the purposes of talking about it and like knowing that we would get to share in some of the great jokes and bits together. Like, just made it that much better. I'm really excited.
Jess, you reached out to Gabby. Was it specifically for this episode or just like, we gotta get Gabby?
No, it was we got to get Gabby, and I wanted Gabby early just because I thought like it'd be really fun to kind of start the podcast with Gabby here, knowing that she's a huge fan. I mean, obviously future guests might not always be the biggest fans of the show ever, but Gabby was someone who I knew had like dressed as the mascot for like Halloween with her boyfriend. Like I knew all of these things about her, and I was like, she's a perfect person to have on.
Right, right.
Not everybody would do something like that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you.
I'm excited. I feel like potential Halloween costumes stem from this episode. Like, I feel like there's a lot in this episode that, like, you could turn, like, whether it's like
some offensive than others.
Some more offensive than others. Like, some I would definitely encourage people not to pursue as Halloween costumes.
Yes.
But a lot of costume work in this one. A lot of ridiculousness. I guess it wouldn't be an episode of Community without it. And I guess kind of interesting to me because of, like, my strange journey through Community. Of like hopping all over the series, getting to know the characters the way that I got to know them. It's a little weird to me just that like the very first like post pilot episode, like mission was to like give us more about Pierce, you know, like to like kind of like give us a Pierce episode.
My guess would be that's as a result of Chevy Chase being like having notoriety and him being a big name. I assume that it was more of like the studio is like, oh, Sony is pushing Pierce. You know, we need a Pierce centric episode. I also think they really wanted to explore more of the Jeff Britta stuff. So we see a lot of that in this episode. They're introducing Chang. So there's like a lot going on in this episode. We'll get there when we get to the ratings, like may or may not be better than the pilot in our opinions. But obviously I don't particularly enjoy the Pierce centric episodes. There are a lot of funny jokes though. So, you know, we'll get there. Gabby, what about you? Like when we're talking this episode, do you enjoy a Pierce centered episode?
I'm like you, Jess. I don't particularly enjoy, too much Pierce, but I do think like, this version of Pierce is one of the better or slightly less offensive versions of Pierce that we get. And there's sort of like an earnestness to early Pierce where it's like, he's just the like out of touch old dude that wants to be friends with everyone is the most endearing version of Pierce. Is it super endearing? Like at face value? Not the most, like, but for Pierce, pretty good episode for him. That's like my extreme hedging because I very much agree with you where it's like when you lean heavy Pierce, it's a little cringeworthy sometimes.
I think it does make sense. He's the star, like he's got the star power coming into Community as Chevy Chase that like they would want to like have him front and center. There's just so many better characters on the show. And I think I'm not thinking about it correctly. Like if I'm thinking about it, like strategically from like the let's showcase our big like and credit actor, that I think you probably do want that relatively early. And I think of a lot of the stuff that I've seen, this is probably, it is very, it says a lot that this is probably one of the tamer Pierce appearances that I've come across, which is scary.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So I had listened to the commentary and Dan Harmon. So it had Dan Harmon, Joel McHale, Chevy Chase, and Joe Russo. If you can imagine Chevy Chase on a commentary for an episode of Community, he was there. He didn't understand what was going on.
Of course not. This was recorded right around the time that they had made everything and stuff, right? Like this is around like 2009, 2010.
This is a few seasons in, I think.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So at this point, like Chevy Chase and Dan Harmon are really going at it, I would assume.
Well, they seemed okay here. So I think it may be season two that they recorded this. But Dan Harmon basically says, which I may or may not have said previously, that Pierce is basically Dan Harmon making fun of himself. Like he's egotistical. He's selfish. You know what I mean? Those types of things are all things that Dan Harmon thinks about himself. But yeah, the entire time Chevy was like, doesn't know what's going on. He's very confused. And it turns out that like Chevy was 57 seconds ahead of everybody. And they did, 'cause they were watching in like different cities. And it took them a while to realize it just because Chevy is like naturally a confused person. So it like took them a minute to figure out that he was like not just saying things that were like out of left field, but because he was watching a different scene than they were.
That's amazing.
It's like congruent with how he would act normally. So they didn't even notice.
Exactly.
That's great. That's great.
That's funny.
All right. Well, beyond that, too, of course, this is going to be the debut of Chang. We have not gotten him on the show yet. We get him here. I guess in my mind, I had remembered it as more of a Chang episode than it ends up being. I mean, he kind of bookends it with, you know, the introduction to Spanish 101 and him being there to fail Jeff and Pierce by the end of the episode. But it's not like a super heavy episode for him.
Yeah, he has like the big monologue when we were first introduced to him. I mean, I think that to me, this is like a decent amount of Chang. Like he has the funny bits, but it's not an overwhelming amount. So we'll get there when we get to his, what I rated him in Meow Meow Beans. But I mean, I liked Chang's introduction here. It's like a perfect amount of Chang where you get to see he's a little bit crazy, but not like way too much of him. Gabby, what did you think about Chang in
this episode? Completely agree. Yeah, I will also wait till we get to the ratings, but this was a good amount of Chang. This was the version of Chang that I like. He's serving his purpose as like an odd teacher at Greendale who, and you know, it's funny because he's mostly speaking English and then he occasionally slips into Spanish. Sometimes he's mispronouncing things and it's like, you know, it's Spanish 101, but also, you know, like when you rewatch it and you know the future of Chang, you're like, ah, this, it actually is a good introduction, I think.
Yeah. It's so much less than I feel like I've seen. Like this, it's hard for me to map this onto like him like going out Scarface style at the end of the season with the paintball and everything. I'm excited for this journey because Jess in the season zero of community building, of like the tripping through time and sampling all these different episodes from across the show, I think very specifically you curated it so that characters that you didn't like quite as much were not super prevalent. So I feel like I still have a Chang journey to go on. So it's basically starting here.
Yeah, I think Chang, Dean, and probably even Pierce would be ones that like you didn't really get the full picture on as a result of my curation, simply because I my creation curation, because those are characters. Well, Dean I love, but it's hard to fit. He has very specific moments. But yeah, Chang and Pierce are not my favorite characters.
All right, well, let's open the empty three ring binder and let's start talking about the episode. Let's get into the recap here on Spanish 101, directed by Joe Russo, written by Dan Harmon, originally aired September 24th, 2009. Jess Sterling, take us away.
So we're at the community campus. We start off hearing the dean's like PA announcement. Cosmology should be cosmetology. Astrology should be astronomy. The students on the cover should be smiling, but that's a matter of opinion. Whoever's growing a small patch of cannabis behind the gymnasium, congratulations, you've won a cruise. Report to security to claim your ticket.
I love this. I thought that was great. That's just like, perfect reward.
Yeah. And as this is all happening, Jeff is parking in a faculty parking spot. He's running late to the study group. And we hear in campus news, the debate over our library's PA system continues with some students suggesting its volume be lower while some questioning its very existence. And, you know, we're opening in on the study group, you know, they're all commenting on Dean's announcements. I remember Abed says it's like, oh, it's like a television show. Like every 10 minutes, like it's like a new TV show, a new episode.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's a good opening. This is again little bits of Dean. We don't see him at all this episode, but we hear his voice, which is this perfect Dean material here.
Yeah, I like Dean as the morning announcements person, as I have taken to conducting morning announcements on the weekdays of the post show recaps Discord experience. May or may not just have been somewhat motivated by watching this episode earlier in the week, being like, oh yeah, Dean does morning announcements. Should we be doing morning announcements for the patrons? Mm-hmm. This makes sense. It's good.
Yeah, Dean is great. Jeff is running late. No one wants to start studying until he arrives because they all love Jeff except Britta, who's very annoyed with Jeff's tardiness. Pierce misunderstands the word tardy. I don't quite get the joke here. I have no idea what word tardiness is supposed to sound like, where he like apologizes that he's saying it.
I think he's trying to say something very offensive would be my interpretation of what Pierce is doing here.
Yeah. And knowing that, Jess, what you said earlier about it's Dan Harmon making fun of himself, which I actually had not heard. So thank you for the like new trivia. It's an offensive joke, and it's almost like he's trying to make the offensive joke without making the joke. And it's, you'd cringe laugh, but it's very Pierce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It took me a second. He says it again later, right? I think that's where it clicked for me. I was like,
yeah. And he
says it to Troy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, he's still going. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
So Britta says, Jeff doesn't care about you, have some self-esteem here. We're going to start studying, Jeff doesn't care about you. There are journalists that are being killed in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Which non sequitur. Yeah.
Shirley's interest. Whoa, hold on. What's happening in Guatemala?
Yeah.
At which Britta was like, obviously not expecting to be questioned about this. So she wasn't exactly ready with an answer, which is very Britta, season one Britta, to be like an activist. But like, is she really though?
Right. Right. I guess they're getting into some of this stuff a little earlier than I had realized. But I love Abed being like, don't spoil it for me. I haven't gotten that far. Sweet Abed. Poor young lad. I thought that was great. He's like, yeah. Doesn't understand that the news is not really a thing you spoil.
Yeah, and I love Britta explaining this to him. Like, she holds his hand. Abed, real stories don't have spoilers. You understand that, right? Like, I love how much Britta immediately cares for Abed. I mean, we saw it last episode. We'll see it definitely next episode. Her love for Abed right out the gate. I don't know. They're not really seen as a pair often in this show, but I think they're great together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jeff's going to show up and he's got shorthand with everybody already, like instant rapport. How much has happened since the pilot? Was it just like one night when they all studied together and Jeff just like won everybody over?
I mean, I think, right, Gabby? It has weeks. To be.
It's been two weeks because he gives Britta the card.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Two-week anniversary, which is weird because I feel like they're just meeting Chang this episode, right? Maybe not, but it seems like he's introducing himself.
It feels that way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's funny. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
2 weeks in, giving the class syllabus finally.
Yes, exactly.
TV trope stuff,
It's fine. Don't look at it too much.
Yeah, don't look at that. Gavin, what are you doing? Look over here. Yeah.
And so he has like an individual greeting for everybody. He does the Milady Milord with Britta, or not with Britta, with Annie, which does come back.
Not my
face. He calls Pierce Vitamin P.
I love that. Vitamin P.
So random.
Vitamin P is like the vitamin you do not want to take.
My favorite is when Pierce goes, yeah, people were jazzed to see me too. Like, that's just the most Pierce. Like, I just have to insert myself here really quick. I got an equally warm response.
Yeah. And Abed's like, great entrance. Good job. You know, he loves it because he's all about the television. The dramatics of it. And Britta brings up that, everyone wants to talk about him being late, but everyone immediately is like, no, we didn't say that.
Jeff's cool. We don't want to do that. And just like, oh, well, it's just typically like you guys spend that first 20 minutes talking about how cool you all are and how interesting you are. And I just feel as empty as this 3-ring binder. And this really works. The wingerisms are landing, with authority.
Yeah, Annie immediately hands over her Spanish notes because he's like, oh, Annie, you have any Spanish notes for that, that empty binder? And she immediately hands them over, which they're double spaced because it's Annie, which is perfect. And it's just like, we know that everybody is under Jeff's thumb at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everybody is immediately glomming on to Jeff Winger. We get the first, as you like to say, the cootie catcher. We get the first formal full cootie catcher intro.
Yeah, Gabby, have you heard of cootie catchers or did you know them as fortune tellers?
Yes. No, I call them both, but it's like the the thing that you open and close that's in the intro. Yeah, cootie catchers. I think that's what we called them.
Yeah. See, Josh?
I didn't know them by name. I knew them like by sight. And I knew them by like physical sense memory. I remember like doing the thing and then you go like that and then you push it forward, then you expand it out.
I have a sensory
memory of the cootie catcher more than I have a memory of the name of the cootie catcher.
Yeah, that's fair.
Quick question for you, Gabby, is have you heard of Kitty Corner?
Yes, it's like diagonal.
Okay.
There you go. Further proof. Woo-hoo! Thank you.
We'll just make sure we ask everybody as we go through here.
Good. Some weird regional dialect game that I didn't know. I was playing. I'm winning.
Yeah. Justin, give you the heads up on that before walking into the podcast.
Okay. I'm in Pittsburgh, so I feel like I've got a lot of jargon that I can pull out.
Yeah. Yes. And nothing about the cootie corner, as the great Susan Sharkey puts out there. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think that sticks.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're back into the study room. Everyone's leaving. Jeff gives Britta a card for their 2-week anniversary of him having a horrible first impression. It's really not, though. It's like some weird, like, children's card mixed with like a bat mitzvah or something random like that. Britta says she has douche ray vision, which I very much appreciated. She accuses Jeff of exploiting the group at perfect timing for Abed to come up and ask if he should bring Jeff's car around. She calls him cute, but selfish and narcissistic. And of course, that's when Pierce has to come up and say that he shouldn't be pursuing Britta so desperately. It creeps girls out. And he invites, this is one of my favorite lines of the episode.
He's desperately creeping on Jeff.
Of course. Yeah. And surely we know from last episode.
Correct.
He invites Jeff to go get a beer and have a sausage fest. Jeff declines.
Yeah. That's some good sausage earlier this week, I have to say.
What kind of sausage?
It was a chorizo.
Oh, love a chorizo.
Yeah, I had a great chorizo situation earlier this week. It was really good. I ate most of it. Emily got the one. And over the course of 2 days, I've eaten almost all of it.
You've been having your own sausage fest.
I have. I've been having my own private sausage fest with some homemade crackers. A little bit of Parmesan cheese, just been sneaking them. And I'm like, oh, I'll just have one. And then like, it's all gone except for like a little quarter of the chorizo. Mm-hmm. I'll probably eat the rest of it today.
Good. You should.
It's just my guess. I'm going to owe Emily a chorizo by the end of all of this.
Yeah. You don't split your leftovers in half and say, okay, this is your half. This is my half.
No.
It's first come, first serve basis.
No, I screwed it up. But Pierce is really wanting to hang. He wants to hang with Jeff pretty bad.
Yeah, he's obviously very desperate to get Jeff above everybody else's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we go to Annie and Shirley, who are approaching Britta outside because they want to know more about Guatemala.
Yeah, they're interested, Gabby. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they've heard this thing and like they're like, okay, well, this sounds like a big deal. What can we do to help?
Yeah.
Britta's like,
Yeah. What I wrote down in my notes is I was like, they're reminding me of all the influencers over the summer who suddenly like became activists by, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm ever hearing about this. How can we get involved? Can we have brownie mix? And it's very funny. It's like very, earnest. And I actually really like this version of Britta, where she like is smart and savvy. And yes, she's a little bit of a fake activist, which she later admits in the episode, but she has a self-awareness. She has the name of the journalist. She has a little information to give them. And I really like this version of Britta. And I think it's a really like nice contrast with Shirley and Annie's over exuberance about what's going on in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Even Annie has this line, you'd rather keep it real than be likable, which is, that is Britta. Early season one Britta. That is who she is. And I love that as for her. I love her as a character. I'm really upset that they eventually dumped her down and made her more quote unquote likable. But yeah, she, like you said, she's a faked activist. She tells them to Google Chicada Panecos, a journalist who wrote an article critical of the government and was killed. Shirley and Annie are appalled and they want to protest. And Shirley says they can make brownies.
I mean, I would be interested for sure. You bring brownies to just about any occasion, whether it's like important or whimsical or happy or sad. That's gonna get me interested in at least checking out your pamphlet.
I bet Shirley makes good brownies too, because that's what she's there for. She wants to like own her own business.
Yeah, but wait, yeah. But don't they really dislike her pizzas in Remedial Chaos Theory?
Well, she made them from like cream cheese and ketchup, and like it was whatever Abed and Troy had. So when she has the right materials, they just don't like her using baking as an identity, is all.
Yeah. I don't think that I know much about her baking skills other than that episode. So my Shirley dossier would indicate that the brownies might be not great.
And be like too cakey.
Yeah,
a little cakey. Also says brownie mix later in the episode. So like, I don't know. Is she going boxed here? Is she going for like quantity over her home? You know, she's not making homemade brownies, which is a little.
It's true.
Surprising for Shirley.
Yeah.
That is a good catch. I hadn't thought about that. Cause yeah, if she's making it from brownie mix, then like Shirley, that's a little bit cheating, huh? Like yeah, I guess if she's making a large quantity though.
I'm not here to grandstand the box mix brownie.
Oh, I love a box mix.
There is a deep time and place. When I say a deep time and place, it's like there's every time and place. It's very vast. Yes.
Like the Ghirardelli's, those are the best.
Oh, I don't think I've had that.
Oh, that's
I love the Ghirardelli chocolates.
The Ghirardelli brownie mix, I'm telling you, everybody should go and make them. They're like a fudgy brownie. They're not the cakey kind, which are
I like
pretty
a fudgy
trashy.
Brownie. I love a fudgy brownie. Yeah. It's good to know. It's good to know. Do you guys want to just talk about food again?
Yes.
Brownies, trees, sausages. We can just go on this for
not
a while.
Not our fault it comes up so many times in the episode.
We do record these podcasts on Saturdays, roughly approaching, we're certainly at 11 Z's. For the Hobbit eating schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, sometimes this happens.
So now we're in Spanish class. This is our introduction to Senior Chang. He's talking about how students ask him, why do you teach Spanish? Why not math? Why not photography?
Right.
Why not martial arts? And he seems very angry. He's getting very close to people's faces, uncomfortably close. He says,
I'm still in the place where, like, when I see characters too close to each other in a scene, it doesn't matter when this was made. Like, I'm still just like, you're too close.
Yes.
Distance. Spread apart. My brain is broken.
Yeah. He needs to back away from Shirley a bit. He says, my knowledge will bite her face off. And then he goes, yeah, bit. And he like munches near her like ear. It's uncomfortable.
What does that mean? Yeah, bit. What does that mean? Yeah, bit.
Like you've been bit. Like it's like, yeah, bit. That's one probably the line that I repeat the most out of this episode. I say yeah, bit in real life too often. And it's creepy and weird, but I love it.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it.
It reminds me of like Eleanor's "Ya Basic."
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Everyone knows I'm a fan of the bits, so perhaps "Ya Bit" is something that I should incorporate. Or am I too late to it?
No, it's never too late.
No, jump right in. "Ya Bit."
Would my bit version of "Ya Bit" be like to like kind of like butcher it like "Your Bit"?
I think you should say
you've
the bit instead, like
bit.
The bit, like
you've
it's the bit.
Yeah,
you've
the bit. I agree with you. Yeah.
I don't think you should put the R on ya. Yeah. I feel like it's
I'm going
to
test it out. I'll try a few different versions. I'll report back and let you know how it goes.
I'm very excited to hear.
I'll incorporate it into my life beyond the podcast and see what goes down.
He's giving out an assignment. He's going to put people in pairs. They're using their cards that are under their desk. You have to match the word with the picture. And he says, comprende, Starburns. We see Starburns for the first time. Very exciting. He has stars for sideburns, obviously.
So this is the first Starburns sighting.
Yes.
And I believe that this is the only like guest star we have in the episode, right? Otherwise it's basically all main characters all the time.
Unless you're counting Dean's like announcements, then I would say yes.
Got it. Okay.
And he dismisses the class with an exuberant hasta luego with
exuberant.
His arms.
Yes.
Yeah. And obviously, so he reveals that, you know, Britta has the house, Casa. So Jeff wants, of course, to trade with Abed, who has the counterpart card. Abed wants Jeff's shirt.
Correct. And I'll have you note, for those who are not here live watching the video version, that I'm essentially wearing Jeff's shirt right now. I'm wearing like a gray button down that is basically what Jeff is wearing. And I realized this after the fact. I was like, oh, I'm wearing Jeff's shirt.
Now, is this the cozy version, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sneaky cozy version.
Yeah, so this shirt is like a sweatshirt material, Gabby. So this is like a sweatshirt button down.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Comfy
it's very
Jeff.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so, we no longer have Comfy Jeff in this episode because he's wearing jeans and like cargo pants. He's not wearing his...
This is sort of like the merging of his aesthetic last week with the sweatpants sort of situation.
Yeah, it was weird because like the beginning of the episode when he first walks in, he's wearing jeans, and then like obviously it's the next day, but he's wearing cargo pants, and I'm like, is Jeff a cargo pants guy?
It doesn't strike me as one.
It's really odd. Definitely not. It's not the right choice. Maybe 2009.
Feels like something he'd make fun of.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He likes his expensive suits. He would never wear cargo pants. It's
cargo pants. Pierce. Like that's where we would go with that, I feel like.
Yeah. I think Jeff would be the type to like purposefully not have pockets in his pants just to make them like even sleeker looking. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't really fit, but that's okay. They're still discovering who the characters are.
Correct.
And so, right. So Abed wants to wear Jeff's shirt out of the room. So they swap shirts.
Yeah. I love it. It's like, I think you misunderstand me. I want to wear it out of the room, is incredible. I also love how he's wearing the shirt later. Like he's an alien on a foreign planet who has discovered the concept of shirts for the first time. Like Jeff Probst at a family visit, discovering what love is. Like, it is very just like, this is not how it works, but that's where he goes with it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's
great. It's like too big on him later. And then with Jeff, we get the opposite. It's like the shirt is too tight and colorful on him.
It's amazing.
Very tight.
Light midriff, right? Like just like a sliver of bare midriff.
Apparently someone on the show, I think it was like one of the costume people in the costume department, came up to him with a razor and was like, you need to take care of something because this shirt is like showing things that you need to take care of.
Oh man. Oh wow.
Wow. All right.
Oh my. Uh-huh. Oh my.
So he, of course, he goes up to Britta. What are the odds? You know, I have Casa, you have House. Turns out Britta changed cards with Pierce. And did anybody else notice that the back of these cards are the Italian flag? Not.
I did not. That's incredible.
My boyfriend noticed it. And then I did see around the Spanish classroom that he had different Spanish speaking flags around. So I'm like, okay, he knows. It's like, it wasn't like the entire classroom was decorated in Italian flags, but I did notice that too.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Jeff, when he's waving the flag in like their presentation later, I think that's also the Italian flag.
Oh,
so
my God.
Makes multiple appearances in this episode.
Oh no. we never know who Britta partnered up with, right?
No.
Yeah. But she has like the toilet flashcard. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
So Pierce and Jeff are now paired up. They're in the study room. Pierce is telling Jeff about the moist toilet business. He says it's a hard, dry, large business, which I loved that joke.
Yeah, that's same. Good. That's good.
And then this is my favorite joke of the episode. He says that he can't have kids. He has hypervirility. His sperm shoots through the eggs like bullets.
That's terrifying. And I hate it. I hate like very evocative in an awful way. In a really upsetting way. Very, 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 very difficult to think of the aptly named Pierce for this. It's no good. It's really awful.
And Gabby and I both know that this is not the first time that Pierce's sperm will come up in a conversation on this show.
I imagine it's the first time in the chronology, unless I missed something last week.
Yes.
But
it's the first time, but it is not the last.
Yeah, it's not
time.
The last.
There's a callback to this hyper-viral sperm later.
That's
one
of my favorite things. When you get to it, I'm excited for you,
okay.
Josh.
That episode is fantastic. It's far off in the future, but it is very good.
Okay, great.
And I love that Pierce is like, can you believe that? And Jeff is like, I can't, but you can. So that's great. That's all that matters. Oh, it's so funny.
Their project, they have to write a Spanish conversation with five phrases. Pierce, of course, brings alcohol and says, to the empowerage of words.
Yeah. This is the motto of the post-show recaps community. It's the empowerage of words. This big M-O-T-P-D energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Jeff talks to Pierce about Britta, and Pierce has the line, what is she, a water filter? Which is fantastic.
Because her name is Britta?
Yes.
And then he says, like, through a wheezing laugh, he's like, she's ugly. I don't know why that line delivery kills me. And it's so funny because at the beginning of the episode, too, he was like, all right, Jeff, I'll let you take her. Like, she's obviously not ugly, but he's just, like, completely changed his point of view because he doesn't have a chance with her. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. All right, so it's the protest time, right?
Yeah, so Jeff just wants to complete the assignment. Pierce is making it difficult. No one is surprised. Yeah. But on to the protest of the chants of We Hate Guatemala. It's just...
Oh, so unbelievable. Oh,
so funny.
And Berta's approaching the protest. Shirley's selling brownies. Her and Annie are wearing shirts with Chicada Panecos on them. They're doing a silent protest where they have tape on their mouths and gather hand in hand. And this is when rap music is heard, and there's like break dancing happening, which is like pushes Britta over the edge. She turns off the music, yells at Starburns, and calls the protest tacky and lame.
What is it about? What's the tacky and lame part?
It has to be the break dancing. No, Gabby, what do you think?
I think the break dancing is cool.
Yeah, it's like a somber thing that she's trying to raise awareness on, and then they have bubble laters. I think it might be later, but they have a big poster that's like in big colorful bubble letters, 340 Guatemalan murders. Bubble letters. And I think Britta just thinks like, this is not the way you do it. This is like a serious thing that I care about. And you're breakdancing and you're selling brownies and
box brownies. Yeah. But they're Ghirardelli.
Yeah, they could be.
They could be.
But Ghirardelli's only really around? Make like 9 brownies. So I think you'd want like a different box mix for a large group.
Sure, sure. I get tacky. I don't know about lame. I think lame is probably the wrong word here. Lame is like too soft for the opinion she's probably trying to express here. But tacky is probably on point.
Yeah, tacky's pretty on point. Annie and Shirley are offended.
Wait, Annie what? We can't protest? We're not allowed to do this?
You sound like Guatemala, Britta.
I love that line. They think they're being silenced. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And at this point, it Shirley calls Britta out and says, like, well, what are you doing? What have you done? And this is when Gabby says earlier that Britta admits that, wow, maybe I'm not like the activist that I claim to be. She asks what she can do, and they have a Chicada Panecos pinata.
Oh, God.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Britta says, like, you know
he was like, he was beaten to death. They're like, yeah, that's how he got the idea.
I love the back and forth of like, thinking that either Shirley and Annie are the cringy ones, and then you think Britta is, and it really is like they're just all, you're going back and forth, and it's like, ooh, that's rough. Oh, yeah, that's not good. And it's like you see Britta's point of view, even though, yes, she has admitted that she's a slacktivist, maybe. She's also not wrong that this is maybe not the way to raise awareness about someone that was beaten to death with a pinata.
But they get press. They get press.
Yeah. So again, it's like that, you know, flipping of expectations.
Yes. Classic.
Classic. And we go back to the study room where Jeff and Pierce are still working on their assignment. Jeff calls it incredibly long, confusing, and a little homophobic and surprisingly critical of Israel. Realistically, the assignment is they have to have 5 Spanish phrases in a conversation.
But like, what is Pierce trying to like create like a rock opera? I mean, I guess we see it towards the end. But I don't quite understand what it is he's trying to like Charlie Day, like blackboard out. Yeah. Like,
oh, I wanted to ask you, Jess, because I haven't seen the commentary, but what I noticed was Pierce is like, what is a story? And he draws out a circle on the board, which if you want, you know, if you know Dan Harmon, that's it's Dan right. Harmon's story circle. And I'm curious if they said anything about that in the commentary.
They don't mention it, but I had the same thought as well. And I guess it was that Dan originally was the one that like wrote everything out on the chalkboard. And I think Chevy Chase actually went in and like altered it before the scene. So I had the same thought, though, that that's probably what they're poking fun at.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I just love those little moments, and there are some similar things in like in Rick and Morty, and you see these like story circles pop up, and I didn't realize that it's so early in Community is like when they're pushing that kind, pushing a little bit of the meta-ness of like what is a story, and they're making fun of Dan. I just thought it was really cool, and I kind of like forgot that it happened this early.
Yeah, it definitely pops up early. I still think we're in the realm of like them making more, obviously this is Dan Harmon's vision, but they're like going a bit more with the studio's version still. They're playing it a bit on the safer side. I think as the season goes on, we get more of those like genre, really heavy episodes, very different from a normal sitcom. I still think we're in like the regular sitcom territory here.
Yeah.
At least until next episode.
Yeah, I think I this feels like that. This feels like this could be, I don't know, not an episode of anything, but you know what I mean? Like, it feels like this is an episode of television. It's a funny episode of television.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a Community episode. Like, feels like that's a different thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Troy and Abed enter. They're going to the silent protest. Pierce reminds them the assignment is due tomorrow. And Troy and Abed just, like, on the fly have a simple Spanish conversation. Jeff is annoyed because Pierce wants to work on act two, and Pierce accuses him of bailing on their friendship. Jeff says he needs to go to a silent protest to pretend to care about something Britta likes, because he kind of likes Britta.
Yeah. So he goes, and he knows immediately what to do. Like, he knows instantly, like, tape on the mouth, pay for the sign. Really blend in. It feels like this isn't Jeff's first protest for like all the wrong reasons.
Or at least he's good at BSing his way there, where it's like he's literally paying someone to have their sign and then stand next to Britta like, oh, funny seeing you here. I didn't see you there.
Yes. Yeah, the sign says silence equals death. And Britta says, nice sign. She says she was too harsh on Jeff. She's not perfect either. Pierce comes out and is just like belligerently drunk. He says Jeff is too awesome for him. He's shouting how upset he is.
Mm-hmm.
At which point Jeff blows him off. He tells Britta that Jeff doesn't care about the protest. And of course he catches on fire and screams running around until he ultimately ends up in the fountain.
He was going to try and punch Jeff. Is that what was about to happen? Was it kind of like a wind up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Sometimes you try to throw a punch and you set yourself on fire.
Sometimes you do.
You know, who hasn't been there?
Of course.
I feel like that's pretty classic, frankly.
Catch myself on fire trying to punch people all the time.
I catch myself on fire doing very basic things. Trying to you know, just like drink some water out of my Brita. And sometimes I catch on fire. I try to make box brownies, catch myself on fire. Try to start a fire, catch myself on fire.
Oh no.
I need an adult.
Where's Emily? We need her to help you in the kitchen.
I need help.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Can I highlight another Abed line that I love? Another meta TV Abed moment where he's like, moments like this will ultimately bring us together as a group. And which is already funny as a line. And then I don't know why Troy saying, "You have horrible breath right now," just like pushes it over the top for me. Because it's like they're not really friends yet. So it's like I was almost expecting Troy to like be cute with Abed, and instead he's just like, "Dude, your breath is horrible right now." And it's so funny.
And like the total, like the delivery of it is like he's continuing the conversation. Yes.
Yeah, he says in the exact same tone of voice.
And his face too, he's like staring straight ahead and he's just like, "Your breath is terrible."
Yes, like he's still hooked into like what Abed is hooked into.
Yeah.
This was, so to spoil my meow meow beans a little bit, which is a great sentence. I didn't expect that Troy and Abed would be like so on the same page this early on. And there are ways in this episode where I think like Donald Glover and Danny Pudi are like really vibing deeply, deeply, deeply hard, especially at the very end of this episode, which I understand is classic and certainly registers that way for me. I loved that moment a lot. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I think this episode really sets up a lot of popular pairings that the show explores. Like, obviously, the Troy and Abed of it all, which I think the end credits really was probably one of the major points when they're like, wow, we need to put these characters together more. But also the Annie Shirley. I love the Annie Shirley dynamic. They fight, but they also are like really good friends. And you always have Britta as kind of like the woman who's a little bit left out because she's not like the typical stereotypical feminine person. And I really love that it's happened so early in episode two.
Yeah.
Speaking of Annie and Shirley, the next morning they're running into Spanish class. They're so excited. They show Britta the paper that has an article that's mostly about Pierce being on fire.
They made it.
But it mentions the protest.
They did it.
They did it, everyone. You know?
Yeah, Britta says it's more
activism.
Yeah, they did an activism. They do the
noise that they'll do it more in the future, but they go like, and they like touch fingers.
Yeah, like, it's like the precursor to the like, ooh, like the ooh, yes, girl, that they do later.
Yes, yes. And I love the Annie Shirley dynamic. Britta says it's more than she's ever accomplished. Jeff says good morning to Britta, gives her another card, and apologizes for crashing her protest with the drunken, self-immolating baby boomer, obviously Pierce. And Shirley and Troy weigh in on Pierce being crazy. Troy says Pierce told him girls have two pee holes.
It's a great line read.
So funny. It's just, I don't know. Donald Glover is like one of the most talented people ever. The line delivery is so funny.
We're recording this, I think, like the day after it's been announced that Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge are making a Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV show for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that. It's kinda will wild. Be tuning in, probably.
I shall watch this show. Yeah.
Yes, good. I like this.
Would watch. Will watch. Yes. Also feels like one of those shows that, like, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, this feels also like one of those shows where it's like, oh, development deal. This isn't actually going to happen, but it's fun to theoretically imagine. And so then if it actually happens, that's going to be really sweet.
Yeah.
Two very talented human beings making a show together. Sign me up.
Yeah.
So Shirley and Troy weigh in on Pierce being crazy, and that's when Troy says that line. Britta says Pierce offered her $100 to switch cards so he could be partners with Jeff. She thinks Pierce thought that being closer to Jeff would bring him respect in the group. She thinks he'd trade everything for a shot at family.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Like I said at the beginning, like, I first of all, I'm a Britta defender. Like, I love Britta. I love this version of Britta. This is like the smart, empathetic, version of her that I wish they let her be more of. And it's just such a good read on Pierce and what his goal was. And it's like, dang it, it makes you feel a tinge of empathy for Pierce, which is like, ah!
So much so that Jeff turns down a very easy C. So that Pierce doesn't have to act out his magnum opus alone.
Yeah, this is the first time that we'll see Jeff being selfless. And Chang, he says, or Jeff says, the presentation is bigger than both of them and deserves to be done right. Swelling music, please.
Yes. Amy Mann playing in the background.
Yeah, Wise Up.
Wise Up, which is very memorable to me from Magnolia, which is playing in the middle of Magnolia, and all of the characters in the movie, no matter where they are in the story, no matter what's going on with the plot, stop down to like sing it. This is like the first like really weird sort of like moment of surreality in Magnolia before I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but the final act, very strange thing happens. So this is sort of like easing you in via musical number, basically, through this exact song. So when this song was being used to sort of convey the emotion of what Jeff and Pierce are building together, but obviously as a joke, like, it felt like a direct reference to that moment from Magnolia for me, and I died. I thought that this was hysterical. The use of this particular song was really, really funny.
You're like our Abed right now, because I haven't seen that, so I didn't know that reference. And it was funny regardless of the reference, but I'm sure that you're right where, like, that level of reference makes it even funnier because of just that juxtaposition where it's like, it gave me very much vibes, not to spoil a future episode, or I forget if you've seen this one, Josh, but it's like, gave me very much Gravity vibes, like Sarah Braille's Gravity vibes, where it's like,
Josh hasn't seen that, but yes.
Okay, good. Well, I'm excited for you to see that.
But it's like, it's the kind of thing where, like, there's no universe where Dan Harmon didn't know that, like, this is like peak Magnolia.
He mentions, like, in the commentary that he asked this happened in a different, is Magnolia a show or a movie?
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's he mentions a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
In something. And he asked the person who created that for permission because he didn't want to, like, rip them off, essentially. I'm assuming it's Magnolia. I can't say one way or the other.
Yeah.
But he did get, like, permission to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I like it's that Josh has taught us something today. This is like, we need these deep cuts.
It cracked me up. Cracked me up because it's like such like a, it's like a very strange moment in that movie because, like, why are people suddenly singing? But it's also really emotional because, like, that's a very serious movie. Like, a lot of, like, It's kind of whimsical in a lot of ways, but it's also like about like people like going through intense metamorphosis and coincidence driving you towards destiny. Obviously, themes that I really like, and that Amy Mann scores most of the movie, if not the whole movie. It's like her songs are running throughout it, but it's this moment where everybody is singing it, and there's no way that Dan Harmon is having it here without it being like a moment of metamorphosis that is like specifically checking this really beautiful moment in like this really incredible film, but like using it in this way. It's like to this what is happening? Like, they have Annie as a hostage, but she's also still watching the thing.
Yeah.
And I love Jeff getting shot with like the space gun and just like his body doing like all the stuff. Like, the whole thing is so crazy. It's just insane.
Yeah, and they finish with like sparklers in their hands. Abed's the only one who claps. Chang gives them an F and an F minus. And then you have Pierce's line of, did he say S? And that apparently was improvised by Chevy.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing that
kills me is what is it like? They're not supposed to take your breath away.
Yes.
Is so good.
The top, and you get like
your breath away. Well, tough.
You get the Jeff speech music too. And this is a bit going back, but it's when he's saying like, Pierce, I'll do this with you. It's the Winger speech music in the background, which is like, it's just such a, It's so funny how standard it is. And yeah, sorry, I'm going back, but I just love that.
No, yeah, it comes up every time there's a Winger speech, which you can't have, you can't have community without the Winger speech.
Yes, yes.
And then after they get their Fs, Jeff leaves Spanish class. Britta said it was one of the worst things she's ever seen. She calls him selfless and says she's impressed because no woman will ever be able to look at you as a sexual viable candidate again.
My God.
And then, of course, Pierce is giving Jeff tips on acting as they walk down the hall.
It's very, very good.
Covered in silly string.
Yeah.
But the selfless thing is interesting, too, because even Jeff is like, well, was it selfless? Or yeah. How do you know I wasn't trying to get another chance at you? Which is like peak
self-aware,
Jeff as well. Like very self-aware and still setting up this like will they or won't they thing, which is fun.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like, I think he's both selfless in that, like, you know, he finally is doing something for somebody else, but like, he still wants to get with Britta. So,
yeah. And it's almost his defense mechanism of like not admitting that he, you know, was doing something nice for Pierce or is starting to care about the study group. He's like hiding behind the cool guy demeanor of like, oh, well, maybe it's just because I want to get in your pants. And it's like, well, I am not attracted to you anymore, so that didn't work.
We have our first after credit scene, and honestly,
wow, it's so good.
It's one of the most iconic. I think I have it as first in my rankings of the after credit scenes.
Wow.
Well, this must have been wild to encounter, and then like when you go back and re-examine it, must still be kind of crazy that like this is the first one. Mm-hmm. That like, of course, they're always going to be like, I don't know, like chasing lightning after this because it's so good. Like musically, it's brilliant. It's great. Nonsensical as hell, but it just sounds incredible. They're both so gifted. They're so gifted.
They just have such good rapport and chemistry. And I actually forgot that this scene was so early in the series because it does feel like it's a peak. And I think just like it makes sense that it's your number one. It's such an iconic ending, or after credits scene. And it's like so cool that we get to see, you know, Childish Gambino rapping in Spanish before he was Childish Gambino.
Yeah, the beatboxing is on point. Like everything about this is iconic community. It makes no sense. You know, it rhymes in Spanish, but the actual words don't translate to any. It's very nonsensical. It's so good. And I have to think that this is where they were like, we need more of Abed and Troy together. Like Troy and Abed, 100% full throttle because they're so funny together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's awesome. And you have to think that like, yeah, after this, they're like, well, we are going to need to lean into these two pretty hard. Cause they're just incredible together. And they have like fairly quiet episodes overall for these characters. For my like ratings of the characters, Troy and Abed are going to be number one with a bullet because of this specific scene. Cause it is just so outrageously spectacular, just like stratospheric stuff for me. One of my favorite things that I've encountered yet on Community.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Boy. 2009.
Yeah, it's great.
Shall we get into some F community, some feedback?
Yes, F community. This is our feedback section. This is where we are going to be leaning on you out there in community building land. If you haven't sent in your feedback, community@postshowrecaps.com or communitybuilding@postshowrecaps.com. These are the best ways to send in your community feedback. Or, of course, you can sign up for the Discord in the Post Show Recaps patron program, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Hit us up in the community building chat.
Perfect. So, Gabby, you mentioned this a little bit earlier. The DC Mike says, I felt the writers definitely were trying to ground Pierce and make him more relatable and humane. And I believe Britta was accurate in that he was reaching out to try and fit in or be accepted and form a family. His personality does make it difficult. Even though there is some empathy that the viewers felt through Jeff and toward Pierce, it never paid off in the end of the show. And ultimately, Pierce was unchanged and never really matured. And he says, P.S., I do not approve of Pierce's character and firmly believe he was growing the cannabis behind the gym.
I like how everyone has to like hedge their commentary on Pierce by being like, don't worry, I'm not a Pierce defender, because it's
right,
because he's just such an outrageous character. I think that's a really good point, that Pierce doesn't walk away changed. Jeff does. And maybe that's why we see Pierce struggle so much in the rest of the show. And he never really does get his footing in the study group, because it's sort of like other people are just always placating him, and he's not the one making any character changes or adjustments to fit in better. He just sort of like expects there's an entitlement, you know, to like the fact that he should just be accepted, but he doesn't really treat others with the respect that he wants to be afforded himself.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like Pierce is definitely the stereotypical old white straight guy. He's not going to change at this point in his life. I mean, I'm not saying people can't, but yeah, Pierce will not. And Jeff is the one we ultimately see change way more to kind of fit in with that group. Pierce, all he ever wants is to be accepted by others. We know he's had like 7-8 divorces. He doesn't seem to be able to form long-lasting bonds with people. And just now my husband says in the chat, Starburns is 100% growing the weed, which to which I say, yes, most likely.
I think that's most likely true. Yeah, I think I said this last week that I feel like, you know, Pierce is like Ghost of Christmas Future for Jeff, basically, right? Like, this is like, careful, this may be where you're going. So I think like having that character there as like a hard, terrifying wall that you may be racing towards. Like, I think that he represents, to me, at least in just like my interpretation of the show so far, of like the thing that if Jeff doesn't sometimes like allow himself to like get off the highway, like he could crash into.
And we have Chad with two D's. So this is probably my hottest community take. I actually really like Chang, and I think he gets better as the show progresses. As a fan of utter chaos and silliness, I love Community. As a fan of chaos and silliness, Chang, along with Dean, Abed, and Troy, is one of my favorite characters. I find his role as a Spanish teacher in season one the most normal.
The most normal. Which is saying a lot, given that, he was...
Is that right? Would you say, Gabby, that this is like the most normal Chang is season one?
Sadly, yes. Which is, it's like, and he's like, El Tigre Chino. So if that's your baseline for normal, like, oh my god,
the absurdity. Yup
it. Yup it. Yup it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is a little bit of a hot take, because Chang is a controversial subject of, you know, some storylines that people aren't really crazy about in the future, and he just really goes so absurd. But I think this is the version of Chang that I also like best. And he's serving his purpose. He's a goofy teacher at community college where it's like, is he a good Spanish teacher? And he's just this like wacky guy. And that's what he deserves. Like, that's the level of Chang that we need.
Yeah, we'll get more of Josh's opinions on Chang. He was like,
it's hard for me to know. I have no real idea. You've protected me.
I just think it's one of those things where Gabby is spot on in that, like, they don't know what to do with him later. And I feel like he suffers as a result, as a character.
A lot of shows have that problem.
And there is one scene in particular that I think is one of the only times I really enjoy Chang as a character later in the series. We'll get there in a very long time, but there's one specific scene where it's a bit different from me.
I literally think I know the exact scene you're talking about, and I will text you about it after this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll agree as well. And knowing Chad, he's a dungeon master in our Discord, and he is a bit of a wacky, zany person. So like, it makes a lot of sense to me that he would really love Chang. I think
that's great. That's great. That's great.
And then we have Riley the Essayist. This episode is worse for basically committing the three cardinal sins of season one of Community. When there's a less than stellar season one episode, it usually revolves around one of three things: Jeff and Britta as a romantic pairing, Pierce and Chang. And this episode revolves around all three. There's so much Chang and so much Pierce focus, and Pierce right out of the gate continues to be the worst and unlikable to me.
Yeah. So this was something that I said when in season zero, the patron only community building experience, when we reached the one episode of season four that Jess showed me, which was, Jess, your least favorite episode of Community ever, was the puppets episode, was that like, to me, it was fine. It was whatever. It wasn't very good. But if that's the worst that this show is ever going to get, then like I will always be able to like find something that I like. And I think for me, like to, you know, just to get a little bit ahead of it is like this is like an episode of Community that like I liked this one. You know, I thought it was fun. I thought that there was stuff in here to like, but like, if this is the worst that season one has to offer, if this is in the range of the worst that season one has to offer, I think I'll be in decent shape for most of these weeks. Like, I think I'll probably be a fairly kind grader moving forward, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Personally, this is not my least favorite. It has gone down since I've rewatched it for this podcast, but I can tell you what my least favorite of season one is, and this is not it. It gets worse.
Oh, I also have a least favorite, and should we not say it? Because now I want to know what yours
is. Well, if you say the word Schmitty, then I would agree with you.
Yes, yep. That is my least favorite episode. Yeah.
Yep.
I actually didn't think that this episode was that bad. I really liked it. There were a lot of jokes. I laughed a lot. It had a simple mm-hmm. premise. It's not like a genre bending thing, but that's because it's episode two of the entire series.
Right.
We do these podcasts live for the patrons. So there are patrons who are chiming in as we're doing this podcast. And there is a little bit of momentum of like, this is better than the pilot. I agree.
I like this
more than the first episode personally.
Going through the audience ratings, it was all across the board. Like people, it ranged from like a 1.3 all the way up to, I think the highest was a 3.4. So like I don't think people have a general consensus on it. We'll get there when we get to the episode rankings or ratings, I should say.
Yeah.
Josiah says, shout out to Dan Harmon's story circle that Pierce illustrates on the chalkboard. Fun to see Troy and Abed already bonding and small things like Jeff and Annie's m'lady, m'lord.
So is that just early the thing on. They say to each other?
Does it happens it again, any, but I don't think it's origin? Like, this is the origin.
Got
but
it.
My hot take is I don't like m'lady and m'lord. I'm sorry. It's,
You don't like that they say it, or you just don't like the bit?
I don't like that. Oh, in this episode, yeah, it's whatever, because it's the first time, the bit. I don't like that it's their thing. It creeps me out. I don't like it, but also that's just my hot take in general. Like, I am not a Jeff and Annie shipper.
Things were going so well. Sorry. And Jess is exploding inside, no, quietly dying.
I don't disagree that, like, the m'lady m'lord is, like, weird. Like, it is kind of strange, but I do eventually like the Jeff and Annie. Right now, I think it's too soon. She's too young. She's too immature. It's not right now.
And they do have moments. I'm not like anti, I'm just not on like the train.
Well, so, it's better than to be like anti Jeff and Annie than to be pro Jeff and Britta, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm really just like pro Jeff and no one.
That's fair. Especially now. Right, like especially in season one, episode two. Like, come on,
yeah.
Jank says, famous Jankinator. I know some won't like this episode because of Pierce and Chang, but this is some of the best of both characters. Pierce is supposed to be the butt of the joke. He admits to being infertile. I think it's okay to recognize he's unlikable while still enjoying the humor. And he likes Chang. His character is not burnt out here. He's not OTT, like Ken Jeong's current shtick. Britt is immediately shown to be the slacktivist liberal, which is relatable in current times. It was nice to see some Annie and Shirley screen time, but their uniqueness has not fully emerged yet.
Yeah. I mean, and this is leading us into the meow meow beans, right? Like, we're going to do the character scores coming next. And I think a lot of what Jank is talking about is reflective in mine. I just to tip it off, I gave a 3 to everybody except for Troy and Abed, who get a 4.5 skyrocketing mm-hmm. blast off because of that ending. And I think that this for me felt like kind of just like, you know, like a good episode for basically everyone, not transcendent for anyone. But maybe transcendent for Pierce and Chang, because I doubt that they will get that high. You know, the fact that they're both getting 3s for me, I think like it's probably like, oh, this is a good episode for both of these characters.
Yeah. I agree. I think like my rankings, I agree that like this is the best of Pierce and Chang, but because just like this is the best of Pierce and Chang, and they're still not like the best characters ever, right? They're not going to get like a 5 out of 5 from me, even though this is probably some of their best showings.
Will that ever happen? Will Pierce ever get a 5 out of 5, you think?
I doubt it.
When he's gone.
Like yes. One final send off. That's good.
Yeah. No, I agree.
What about Chang? Will he ever get a 5 out of 5?
No, maybe in like that it. One scene that we're potentially both thinking of.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. It's a long
moments,
ways away.
There are moments and there yeah, are. it's rough.
Okay. Shall All we right. get into the meow meow beans?
Sure. Yeah. So I've already revealed mine. It's threes for everyone except Abed and Troy.
Yeah.
Who that final scene is just like, and that's what's gonna boost this one past the pilot for me. Like, I think that they were both of like a pretty similar quality for me. But that final scene just destroyed me. I thought I'd forgotten, because I had seen this episode before a long time ago, before we did community building. Because I got through, I think, episode 4, I'm trying to remember, but I had seen this one before, but it's so long ago and not with the context of how we've been doing the podcast. So it was one of those moments where it's like, oh yeah, right, oh my god, this is so good. So watching that scene again just absolutely killed me, and it's such a testament to both Danny Pudi and Donald Glover, who are just absolutely incredible.
I gave, so starting with Jeff, who Josh obviously gave a 3. I also gave Jeff a 3. I saw a little bit of growth from him. I gave him a 1.5 last episode, and I saw a significant amount of growth from him this episode. Thought he was like a little bit higher than average, so that's why I ended up giving him a 3. What about you, Gabby?
I gave him a 4. Maybe I might have a little bit of meow meow bean inflation, because looking at your guys' score, I think I, in general, have leaned higher for all of them. Cause no one does anything that I hate. And same thing with what you said, Jeff, like, has some growth, means well. So I gave him a 4.
Okay. On to Britta.
Britta.
Josh gave him, there are a lot of J names in this.
There's too many.
Josh gave her a 3. I also gave her a 3. I felt like I love her snark. I love her sass. Continued through this episode. A little bit higher than last episode. I just thought she was a little bit, I liked
last,
her.
Last one you were 2.5. Is that right?
Yes. I gave her 2.5 last episode, 3 this time. I thought I really liked her, like, kind of coming to the realization she is a slacktivist. So I did appreciate that from Britta.
Yeah, again, I have inflation again. I rated her 4.5.
I like the inflation, by the way, Gabby. I hope you're not apologizing for it.
You're
it's
allowed
good.
To do whatever you want. These are your rankings.
Infuse the market. Yes, more meow meow beans. More I don't beans. Know what they are, but let's get more of them.
Oh, yeah, I honestly just love this version of Britta. Like, I am a Britta stan, defender, like, even all her bad parts. Like, I see myself in her, including the bad parts, where sometimes I'm like, yeah, I want to care about activism. And then I'm like, oh my God, crap, what have I actually done? And I just, like, love that Britta has that realization. This version of her is much better than, dumb version of her that they kind of make her become. So that's why I inflated it, because I just want more of this version of Britta.
Mm-hmm. That's completely fair. I don't disagree with that.
Totally.
On to Abed. Josh, you, like you said, you gave him a 4.5.
Skyrocket, yeah.
And all because of the last scene.
That's gonna be the kind of thing that happens here for me, I think. Fine. It's like, is there like a huge breakout thing for a character that this is evolving for me. I will just like say at this point, the ranking of things is very difficult for me to figure out on this show, because I don't have a great baseline, you know, like, so I don't have like the firmly rooted nostalgia. I don't know the show to that degree yet, that it's challenging for me to figure out like, where am I feeling like grading all of this stuff. So I'm like, I feel at times like I'm being generous, and then other times I feel like I'm not. And so like, I'm second guessing my rankings, but I think like an instinct that I'm having is like, when someone does, like, even if it's just a thing that's like transcendent for me, I think that they're just going to boost. I think they're just going to go really
high. I think
high.
That's how we differ in our ratings, which is fine. Like, I like that we have a little bit of a different method. I gave him a 3 this episode. He's largely absent from a lot of this episode. He's not the center focus, which leads to less jokes, which leads to me laughing less. Right. So I'm usually rating off of like hilarious moments and also sentimental moments, because, you know, you're not always going to have a hilariously funny episode. I love the final scene, but I just don't I don't grade in that way where like, I love it, but it's not really as much canon, if that makes sense. Like, it's like an extra bit, which I feel like we account for in the Streets Ahead, Streets Behind section.
Yeah, extra bit.
Yeah, extra bit. So yeah. I just gave Abed a 3 here. I thought he was good, not the best Abed I've ever seen.
I also gave him a 3 for pretty much all the same reasons that you said, Jess.
Okay, Troy. Gabby, why don't you give us your Troy rating first this time?
I also gave Troy a 3, same as Abed for me, because of similar reasons. It's just he doesn't have a lot of meat in this episode. The rap is amazing. I also tended to like not factor that into my ratings as much. He's got some hilarious lines, like I said, with the "you've got horrible breath right now." Like, me and my boyfriend say that to each other, which is maybe a little embarrassing to admit, but
no, not at all.
So he's got a 3 from me.
I did have a 2.5, but I just changed it to a 3 because I just remembered how hard I laughed at the girls have 2 pee holes line. And
yeah, that's good.
I think that deserves the little 0.5 bump from me. So he's getting a 3.
Yeah. All right, so onward to Pierce, who, yeah, I gave a 3. I think, you know, there's some things that he does in this episode that really crack me up. There are times in which Pierce really, really cracks me up, as I have confessed on multiple occasions on this podcast. There's a few in this one that I think are pretty good. But a lot of it is just like sort of like the and we've talked about this, like the physical comedy with Chevy Chase, like the way that he like walks into Spanish class towards the end of the episode, sort of just like this, like, like sad, like toddler who did something wrong look on his face just slays me. So yeah, I gave him a 3. I suspect that this will be like around like the heights of Pierce. I have a hard time imagining him ever like cracking much further than a 4 ever for me.
Gabby, what about you? What did you give Pierce?
I realized I forgot to rate him beforehand, so I just impromptu put in a 3, just middle of the road. I also laughed at a lot of his jokes, especially when they're creating the story and he's telling the story about the sperm and the Hemingway's lemonade. Like, there were moments when I laughed, but I'll give him a 3.
I have Pierce at a 2.5. I usually have him much lower. The reason I gave him that little bump was the hypervirility line cracked me up so much that he got the little bump from me. And on to Shirley. Josh, you gave her a 3. Average 3.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think this felt like a pretty like good, funny, basic, well-rounded episode for a bunch of these characters. Shirley, too. Like, I'm waiting to see more of Shirley. I think, like, in their breakout episodes are going to be the ones where, like, either they go, to use the term of a different part of this podcast, Streets Ahead or Streets Behind in my Miami Beans, you know? Like, I think, like, when we get to our first, like, big focus on Shirley episode, that's where I see something really moving the needle. Otherwise, right now, I'm pretty happy of just like keeping everybody level. Let's stay fairly level, like a slightly higher than average, unless they've really done something to deserve that.
Yeah, that tracks. I also gave Shirley a 3. I love the beginnings of the Annie Shirley relationship. I love the little thing they do. I think it's very cute. I love her baking brownies, and I love her calling out Britta for being a slacktivist. I think that was great for Shirley. So I also gave her a 3.
I gave her a 2.5, similar reasons to you all. Just not the strongest Shirley episode that I know there is. And she just doesn't have that much content. And I docked points, you know, for the, I'm Britta. Okay. So like I docked points for the tacky Guatemala protest. You just don't do bubble
was
letters.
A step too far. Yeah.
You don't do bubble. That might've actually been Annie was probably responsible for the bubble letters.
Annie definitely did the bubble letters.
That seems more like
that's
Annie.
An
Yeah.
Yes. All right. On to Annie. We were talking about her. Josh, you gave her a 3, similar feelings on her being, you know, kind of average this episode. I also gave her a 3. She doesn't have a lot to do yet. And so I feel like I want to reserve the higher ratings for when she does. I love Annie. I will always love Annie. I love her purple JanSport backpack. Like, just like literally everything about Annie. I love her. I just gave her a 3. What about you? I'm assuming you docked points from her, Gabby, for her anti-plit Rita Slander.
Yeah, same as Shirley, 2.5 docked points for bubble letters and pinata.
And last but not least, Chang.
So we are officially putting Chang in the group.
Yes.
He's a series regular. He counts.
He's in that cootie catcher.
And once people are able to, once people find themselves in the cootie catcher, they are eligible for Meow Meow Beans.
Yes.
That is the way this is going to work. Okay. So then I gave him a 3 as well, because for me, it's like, you know, just like a total like base hit community appearance for a character. But I'm to understand that, like, maybe this would have been the opportunity to go a little higher on Chang. I don't know. I guess I'll find out. I'll get there. You know, I don't know yet.
I think this is like, but here's the thing. Gabby and I, and I mean, I don't know, want to say every guest, but a lot of guests have seen the whole show. So I think we're going to be looking at the rating, like the ratings a little bit differently than you will.
I'm
going to
skew everything. I'm going to ruin everything.
That's completely fair. What about you, Gabby? What did you give the Chang? Ratings.
Yeah, no. Do you mean make a small, tiny, insignificant mistake? Because
that's right. That is what I mean.
Yeah, I gave him a 4.5 because I like this version of Chang. I think it's suitable for his character. I love the monologue. Your bit will be stuck in my head for the next week now that we have said it so many times in this podcast.
Yeah. So this is probably going to be a surprise to listeners. I gave him a 4 in this episode. Famously, I'm anti-Chang, but I like him in this episode. I think we get just enough. I love him, like you said, like your bit and the nomming. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but like, I think his physical comedy is funny. The waving the arms when he's hasta luego, I think is very funny. The F and the F minus. I thought it was a good Chang episode, and I thought he deserved to be rewarded for that. So.
What's amazing to me is, so we're putting the Meow Meow Beans as a running tally. These numbers are going to get explosive the deeper we get into community. Just like to start going through them, through two episodes, Pierce Hawthorne has 11 Meow Meow Beans. And with his first appearance, he was completely absent from an episode. And just with one episode to Pierce's two episodes, Chang is already a half Meow Meow Bean higher than Pierce, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think that was bound to happen. I think they'll waffle back and forth for last place, if I'm guessing.
Yeah. So we've got Pierce in 8th with 11 Meow Meow Beans, Chang in 7th. 11.5 Meow Meow Beans. We've got Annie and Jeff are tied for 6th and 5th with 14 Meow Meow Beans apiece. Is this troubling to you, Jess, to have Annie on the lower end of the tier so far?
No. I have plenty of time to give Annie all the 5 Meow Meow Beans episodes she deserves. I think we're in the beginning where we don't see much Annie, and I think deservedly so, she's in that spot. Do I like it? Not particularly, but she has plenty of time to get Meow Meow Beans.
Mm-hmm. Shirley is top half in the Meow Meow Beans.
And she's gone ratings. Down 2 spots.
Oh, really?
Yep, I'm putting in the things as we speak. Right now, Troy has gained a spot. Britta has gained 2 levels. Shirley has gone down 2 levels.
Yeah, so the top 4 is right now it's Abed, Troy, Britta, and Shirley. So Shirley was a little higher. Britta was a little lower. Troy was a little lower. So people are shifting. The board is shifting. The leaderboard is changing as we are moving forward with our Meow Meow Beans through season 1. Which I guess takes us to the Dean's List. And I had a question. Yes. About the Dean's List. The Dean's List is going to be our opportunity to honor guest stars as they appear on Community. Am I allowed to abstain from the Dean's List?
I think that, why
do
not?
Do I have to give a point?
I don't think if you think someone doesn't, nobody deserves the point, then don't give one.
Because I think this week there's only 2 characters that are eligible, really.
Right.
It's either Starburns, who shows up and is just there with his Starburns, or the Dean on the PA, which is very, very funny. But like, if that's just going to be how I'm defaulting every time, then the Dean is just going to be racking up the Dean's List points. And then it feels like a real monopoly on the thing that's already named after him. Can I just not give a score?
I think that's fine.
I'm not giving anyone a Dean's List point this week. I'm abstaining from the Dean's List.
Give a Dean's List point.
I'm taking this week off from the Dean's List. I think, you know, the Dean's funny in the first thing, but you don't even see him. You just hear him. Starburns is literally just there. You just see him, you don't hear him. So it's the opposite. I'm going to give no Dean's List points this week. And this may be a thing that I do from time to time.
I did give a Dean's List point, mainly because I love Starburns, and I think he, like, just the appearance of him made me laugh. The way that Chang says Starburns, like, I love him. I felt like I was between, obviously, the Dean and Starburns. There aren't really any other contenders here, but I think Dean has plenty of time to get Dean's List points, and so I wanted to give my point to Starburns.
Yes.
That makes sense. I was waffling between the two, Starburns. I love that, like, because his name is, you know, his name is Alex. So, like, his reaction to being called Starburns is so funny, where he's just like, what? Why are you calling me that? It couldn't possibly be because my sideburns are in the shape of stars. I gave it to the Dean because I love him. And
yeah, so
the announcement was great.
Current Dean's List standings, Dean with 3 points and Starburns with one.
He's just going to crush it, and I don't think he needs any extra help from me this week. I anticipate the Dean is going to be in charge of his own list, which is probably appropriate.
So how it should be, right?
I think that's probably how it should be.
The coolant system,
where we are rating each episode out of four possible cools. Last week I gave the pilot a 2.5 cools. I want to go just a smidge past the pilot. I think this is probably about the same quality for me, not in any meaningful way ahead of the pilot or behind the pilot. Like, I could go back and forth on which episode I liked more, but I'll give this one the edge by, I'll give it 2.6. And again, it is because of that final scene, which I just love so much. It's just going to be the difference maker for me.
Yep. What about you, Gabby? What did you give the episode?
I just gave it a flat 3 out of 4. I like it. I think it's enjoyable. It doesn't, like, make me cringe like some episodes do. And, you know, I'm a generous both meow meow bean and cool giver.
So I gave the pilot a 2.8. I thought this was not as, to me, it was not as good as the pilot. So I brought it down to a 2.2. I just think the pilot had so much to do in setting up the characters. And I thought it did such a good job with doing that, that I wanted to reward it. And if I'm a viewer and I'm watching these first two episodes and that they're trying to hook me in, I like this episode. I think it's good. That's why I didn't give it like a 1 or something, but I think it's just like just above average, which is why I gave it a 2.2. Josh, more in line this week with the audience, which gave it a 2.4.
Oh, good.
So you were right there with them.
I do.
Yes. Which brings our current average to a 2.59, which is in second. Pilot with 2.70, Spanish 101 with 2.59.
Okay. Not a surprise. I feel like Pilot always is going to have a little bit of an edge. It's the first one. You got fond memories of the thing that started it all. Speaking of which, should come as no surprise, we do the Streets Ahead, Streets Behind to score the end credit scenes. This is not just Streets Ahead. This is a pass or fail class, but gosh, I wish I could give it extra credit. So I'm calling this Streets Way Ahead. This invented the streets.
This paved the way.
Hey,
Look at that. For the record, in the spreadsheet, it just says Streets Ahead because we can't, got to be a stickler. I just want to put an asterisk on it.
This is way ahead. This is the best.
I also put Streets Ahead. You'd be crazy not to put this Streets Ahead.
Yes, yeah. Same.
Yeah. Pretty just, what more is there to say? It's legendary. Absolutely glorious and fantastic. So that's two episodes down. Spanish 101 in the books.
Yeah, I think we're off to a bing. I'm looking at through these episodes with a whole entire new lens, and I'm excited to keep it up. I think next episode is great. I'm really, really excited because that is, like, to me, one of the first like smash hits of Community is season 1, episode 3.
Yeah, and next week, we've got a special guest coming to the podcast, making his Community building debut. He had reached out to say, hey, there's an episode of Community building coming up that I would love to be on, because he had expertise in the arena. I believe there may be something about a mascot coming up in a few episodes from now, Jess. but we're already booked with our guest for that week.
Yes. Unfortunately, I already had a guest booked and I felt bad. I didn't want to go back and say, no, you can't do this one anymore. Yes. But AJ Mass.
AJ Mass, the great AJ Mass, former Mr. Met himself, who also has really great insight into filmmaking, shall be our guest on Introduction to Film. So AJ Mass is going to be stepping into the community building ring with us next week to talk about the very first Abed Spotlight episode. I'm really pumped. I always love talking to AJ, so this will be great.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Get your feedback in community@postshowrecaps.com by 2:19, preferably, which is the Friday before we record on a Saturday.
Yes. Gabby, what's going on? I hear you're twitching.
I'm twitching.
Gabby, I hear you're twitching.
I'm twitching. I had too much caffeine. You twitch. Yeah, I started a Twitch channel. It's just V-casual. I have mostly been spending half of my broadcasts like troubleshooting tech issues. So,
listen, as the patrons of Post Show Recaps will tell you, we love a live stream of tech issues. It's one of our favorite things. We love to do tech support live.
Yeah, well, people were very helpful to me. But yeah, I'm on Twitch at Gabscoozy, and I'm just playing all the games that I'm normally playing. I'm playing like puzzle game. I will be playing puzzle games, RPGs, strategy games. It's like I just spend all my time on the computer and on the internet and playing games anyway. So I was like, why not combine them and have people be able to watch my games that I play?
What are your favorite games that you're playing right now?
I'm not playing this right now, but my favorite game ever that I want to replay from the beginning is Dragon Age. It's an RPG. It's a franchise, but the first one will always have a special place in my heart. And then I'm making my way through like Zelda Breath of the Wild and
oh, nice.
Yeah, some other. I'm
it's too system
Odyssey.
Oriented for my feeble brain. Zelda Breath of the Wild. I can't process all the things I need to keep track of.
Oh, same.
I wish I could.
I'm probably like 60.
I was like, wait, my sword just broke. Are you serious?
I know. I'm so many hours in and I have like barely done anything in the game because I get distracted by like a villager saying, hey, can you help me find my chickens? And I'm like, yes, that
yeah,
I will
of course.
Do that right now.
Absolutely.
What am I supposed to do? Not help?
Yeah, I can't let his chickens be loose. So I am making my way through at a very, very slow pace.
Mm-hmm. Gabby, are you getting the new Super Mario World that just came out?
I'm not sure. I am not typically like a Mario. I haven't played a lot of the Marios. Mario Odyssey is sort of like my first foray into Mario Land.
Gabby is more of a Wario Casino type.
Chance. Yeah.
Taking a chance in the Wario Casino.
Yeah.
So. That's great, though. That's super fun. So check out what Gabby's doing on Twitch, playing games, having a great time. I've never done Dragon Age, so that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I love an RPG.
If
so,
you like D&D, like you would like it. So let me know if you need any recommendations on getting set up on Dragon Age.
Jess, was it a missed opportunity for both community and us as a community to not call our Dungeons and Dragons program Dean and Dean?
Yes, it is 1,000% a slight on us.
Yeah,
we missed that. Next time. Episode of that, we'll do Dean and Dean.
Next time. Mm-hmm. Gabscoozy on Twitch, on Twitter as well, I believe. Or are you Gabby Pascoozy?
I'm Gabby Pascoozy, my full name on Twitter. Because
full name on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know how it's supposed to work, to be completely honest. Jess at V Jess Sterling. What's going on with shit 90s shows taught me, Jess?
So much. We did a crossover event with the famous Michael J. Clark, MJC, on pilot season. He came on and we covered You've Got Mail. It's a spicy podcast, let me tell you, because that movie is well loved by everybody who likes a rom-com, and spoiler alert, I hated it. So
oh no,
go listen to that because we get heated. It's very fun. And then we went on pilot season and chatted about My So-Called Life, which I'd also never seen, which was another excellent podcast. Those are both out. And then of course we're heading into season two of Boy Meets World, and we're still on season one of Dawson's Creek. So give those all a listen. Been a busy week for me.
All right. Check all of that stuff out. Check out everything we've got going on here on post-show recaps. There's just so much stuff. You don't even know what to do with any of it. It's an insane amount of content. We'll be back next week. More community building. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so yet. We're official. The feeds are live, ready to go.
We have our own feed.
We got our own feed. So get excited about that.
Great artwork.
Great artwork. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Look up community building, subscribes, the ratings, the reviews, all of that. Super helpful as we are trying to grow. We're building out. We're expanding. We're expanding the community building. That's going to do it. I guess this is the part where I say, I was normally say Corey B take it away, but perhaps more somberly, Amy Mann. Take it away.
It's not what you thought when you first began.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.